You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. It's nice to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me right after the Holy Mass. I hope you enjoy today's broadcast as we continue discussing being happy and finding happiness. I think that's the mankind's seems sole purpose. I want to be happy. Things to make me happy. Right, so we're going to talk about that. Let's begin with a prayer, and this one is a Saint Raphael prayer. Saint Raphael of the glorious seven, who stand before the throne of Him who lives and reigns, angel of health, the Lord has filled your hand with balm from heaven to soothe or cure our pains, heal or cure the victim of disease that I pray for now, and guide our steps in prayer, and when doubtful of our ways. O God, who in your ineffable goodness had rendered blessed Raphael the conductor of your faithful in their journeys, we humbly implore you that we may be conducted by him in the way of salvation and experience his help in the maladies of our bodies and souls, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, who doesn't want to take, the road to happiness? You know, we all don't want to take turns and bumps. We just want to get there. What's the easiest way to get there? What's the shortest route? You know, if there was a GPS and we say, okay, find happiness in less than 5 minutes in the shortest amount of distance and time. Well, gospel readings that I'm going to be sharing with you today gives us a roadmap if we want to be happy, not just in the future, but today as well. What is the wonderful guide that you may be asking? Actually, it's the Beatitudes. What makes the Beatitudes so different is that their message runs contrary to what the world teaches about happiness. The world tells us that we can find true happiness in having successful careers, in being esteemed by our peers, and getting all kinds of plaques and medals and awards, by having a lot of money, getting the latest fashion, or having a lot of fun. The Beatitudes tells us that true happiness comes from self-sacrifice, from following the way of the Lord, even when it's difficult, and from putting others first. This message wasn't any easier to accept in Jesus' time than it is today. But however, we must all come to the point where we acknowledge our spiritual poverty and our complete dependence on God, if we want to be truly happy. And then we can begin to understand why Jesus would say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours." Poor, he's not talking about money, brothers and sisters. He's talking about you and I. We are poor, poor in spirit, poor in the lack of being totally convicted. Maybe you are. I need help. I always seem to need help. I need more and more. And I'm getting stronger, but I am a work in progress. I'm not finished. I'm not perfect. I know I need help. Some days I'm really good. And some days I think, where did I go wrong? It's because I didn't bring it to the Lord, because I'm not letting go. I'm trying to make God do it on my time. But I want it now. But I don't want to wait. I need it now. But that's not how God works. And to do that, it's like you're doubting God that he'll even do anything, because you're putting him in a time frame and expecting him to follow us. No, no, no. That's the backward thinking. We have to follow him, right? You know, we just finished, I'll tell you, it's a huge revelation. We cleaned out our basement. To some of you, the whole idea of having a basement full of clutter, I mean, it's been like that for over 30 years, brothers and sisters. The old Christmas trees, the old decorations, old children's toys, books from university, from us, teaching materials from 37 years of teaching. Imagine the kids' work, the kids' books from university and high school, for goodness sakes, and all kinds of old stuff. As the Jewish people would say, a lot of tchotchkes. You know, those little things of figurines and things? Jewish people called them tchotchkes. I learned that. Because one day my Jewish principal came over one day. Oh, she said, Christina, I see you have a lot of tchotchkes. I thought, yeah, she's right. I have a lot of stuff, a lot of nonsense stuff, right? I mean, they were cute, but you know what? They've all ended up in the basement. I thought they brought me happiness, and maybe it was temporary, but it's not long lasting. It's not forever. I was so quick to get rid of them when we cleaned out our basement, and it didn't bother me. I just thought, yeah, no, they're okay. They're time for them to go. But with our Lord, brothers and sisters, living with our Lord is not like that. I want you all to turn, if you have a Bible, and I will do my best to see if I can help you along. But Jeremiah, find the book of Jeremiah. It is, let me see if I can, it's just after the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and it's right after a book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 17. And I'm going to read verses 5 to 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Brothers and sisters, some may think that the word curse should never be associated with the person of the Lord. And yet, that's what Jeremiah says. Why would the God of love curse anybody? Yet God's love demands a curse upon those who are indifferent to him. Indifference, not hate, is the opposite of love. Hate at least cares enough when someone to dislike them. Indifference doesn't care at all. Love is complete concern for the concerns of another. And so God is infinitely concerned with each one of us. A curse is actually what happens when human indifference comes face to face with God's love. Indifference to God's blessing is itself the curse. God's unwavering plan for you and I, brothers and sisters, is to bless us. However, those who do reject God's blessing out of hate or indifference, I don't care, are cursed for the very lack of his blessing. It's just like a light switch. Either it's on and there's light, or it's off and you're in the dark. God's blessing is light itself. And if we reject that light, we're condemning ourselves to curse the darkness. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to find the next scripture, and that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's after the book of Romans, so that might help. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it is verse 16 to 20. Verses 16 to 20. And I will read. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. And it continues. Some members of the church at Corinth didn't believe that people would actually be resurrected. And Paul handled this question immediately by referring to what he considers the central element of the Christian faith, the death and resurrection of Jesus. In Paul's eyes, the opinion that no one is actually resurrected from the dead empties the faith of its substance. The Christian faith without this event of the resurrection is like a body drained of blood. That is, it's dead. The bottom line is that it's absurd, it's ridiculous for a Christian not to believe in the resurrection. A Christian who doesn't believe in the resurrection is like a fisherman who doesn't believe in fish. The goal of fishing is to catch fish, and the goal of Christians is to be resurrected with Christ. St. Paul's argument is simply this. Excuse me. If you don't believe in the resurrection, Christ's and ours, you really aren't a Christian at all. Turn then, would you please, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 to 26. Luke chapter 6. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This passage is from Luke. It's sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain, to distinguish it from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. Luke suggests that Jesus is a new Moses coming down from a new Mount Sinai to give a new law for the new covenant people of God. The new law was that God's blessing would explode in the world to such an extent through his offering of self that even the greatest evils of human history, which is poverty and hunger and mourning and persecution, would be seen as a channel of immense blessing. The blessings of God unlocked by Christ's cross would be so vast under the new regime that no amount of earthly comfort can compare. In other words, you understand that, brothers and sisters? Nothing can compare than to believe and trust in God, to give oneself to God, to follow in Jesus. In fact, those who pursue riches, feasts, entertainment, and honor for their own sake will find them empty in comparison and perhaps even the cause of their own perdition. And that gospel, Jesus presents us with a roadmap for blessedness. In the Beatitudes, Christ tells his followers that true happiness and fulfillment come from humility and service that reflect his own life. Accordingly, how then does a Christian way differ with our own world's understanding of happiness? Our world can present a very different understanding of what makes us truly happy or fulfilled. Unfortunately, we too often fall in those misperceptions of happiness. Take a look at the list of things that we can think about, of what people think makes them happy. A new car, a new home, nice clothes, a brand new pair of shoes, money in the bank, winning the lottery, goes on and on. The best looking car, a Ferrari, a Maserati, goes on and on. And if Jesus were looking at our list, what do you think he would say about those items, those things? Which ones do you think he would say are truly top priorities for our living a happy and fulfilling life? Any of them, brothers and sisters? Which ideals on that list, if any, might he say are not as urgent? And now, what might Jesus add to your list? The desire for happiness, the Beatitudes, responds to the natural desire for happiness. This desire is of divine origin. God has placed it in the human heart to draw man to the one who alone can fulfill it. So now, there are four areas that are important to human happiness. Physically, right? We got to eat well, eat right. Emotionally, intellectually, and above all, spiritually. Physically, well, when you exercise regularly, when you sleep, when you eat the right sort of food and you balance your diet, well, guess what? How do you feel? You feel fantastic, right? You feel more alive. You're healthier. You're happier. You have a richer, more abundant experience of life. You feel good about yourself too. Emotionally, when you give focus and priority to your relationships, what happens? You switch off the focus on yourself and on to others. And as you do that, your ability to love increases. And as your ability to love increases, your ability to be loved increases. You become more aware of yourself. You develop a much more balanced view of life, and you can experience a deeper sense of fulfillment. You're healthier and you're happier. And intellectually, when you take 10 or 15 minutes a day to read a good book, well, what happens? Your vision of yourself expands. Your vision of the world expands. You become more focused, more alert, more vibrant. Clarity replaces confusion. You feel more fully alive. And finally, spiritually. When you take moments each day and you step into the classroom of silence, the classroom of silence, and reconnect with yourself and with God. What happens? That gentle voice within you grow stronger, and you develop a deeper sense of peace, of purpose, and direction. You're now healthier, you're happier, and you have a richer experience of life. Eating right, sleeping well, exercising regularly are just a few ways to be a happier person. We all know the things that make us happy, but we don't do those things. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually, we know the things that infuse our lives with passion and enthusiasm. We know the things that make us happy. We just don't do them. It doesn't make sense, does it? On the one hand, we all want to be happy in life, and on the other hand, we all know the things that make us happy, but we don't do those things. Why? Simple. We're just too busy. Too busy doing what? Too busy trying to be happy. That is the paradox of happiness that has betwitched our age. Ready for a new, radical, simple way to start making your life happier very quickly? What is one small step that I can do today? Think about it, brothers and sisters, that you can do today to improve. Sit down for about 10 minutes, 10 quiet minutes, and be completely honest with yourself. How are you doing physically? What about emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually? How are you? Then ask yourself, what is the one small step I could do today to improve each area? Here's an example. Physically today, I will eat a healthy lunch at my desk or take a walk during my lunchtime. Emotionally, today I will call my mom on my way home from work or my loved one. Intellectually, today I will find an interesting podcast to listen to on the way into work. And spiritually, tonight before bed, I will sit somewhere quiet. I will relax my mind and write down 4 more steps like these for tomorrow. Try this, brothers and sisters, and see if you have a better day than usual. Make time for the things that actually do make you happy. If you feel like it works, then try it for a week, then a month. You'd be amazed at how much better you will feel. You might even consider doing it for a lifetime. Instead of asking yourself, how can I be happy? Try asking yourself, how can I make time today to do the things I know make me happy? We have to start making time for the things that actually make us happy before we run out of the time we have. So start today. The secret to true happiness. If God and union with God in heaven is the only way to attain true happiness, then how can we achieve that? How can we get that? The answer, my brothers and sisters, is simple. It is the answer is the cross. The first step is to deny the modern day heresy that we can only be happy by seeking what feels good. The second step is to accept that we can only know true happiness if we daily take up our cross and follow Christ. The truth is that no one can avoid suffering in this life. That's right, there isn't anybody. All too often, we try to avoid suffering. If it comes to find us anyway, brothers and sisters, even when I was diagnosed with bone cancer, I was in the best shape ever. I was 119 pounds. I was age 36. I was about 36, maybe 35. Yeah, 119 pounds, great shape, rode my bike, high impact aerobics classes. You name it. I went even for blood work. They said it was like incredible, my cholesterol. There was no such thing that my LDL and HDL and whatever. It was just amazing. And then I was stricken with bone cancer, a rare form of bone cancer in which there were 4 documented cases in all of Canada. And I did my best, brothers and sisters. I tried to avoid suffering. I took care of myself. I took care of the children. When there were babies, I made homemade food. I never bought a jar of food anytime, anywhere. I even took one picture of my son eating a jar of mashed carrots and homemade mashed carrots. And I took his picture. First I gave him mine. And I gave him about a minute or so. And then I popped the the jar of baby food into him, and the look on his face, it was so priceless. I took his picture. It speaks volumes, because I did my best. I tried to give him healthy food. I wanted to have a healthy baby, and I did my best. I had 60 trays in my freezer in the kitchen of meat, vegetables, and fruit. And I made everything homemade. And I felt, I took such pride in that. I was doing my part as a mother to give the best food I could possibly for my baby. And I would do that again. I never regretted it, right? But our world, brothers and sisters, is a fallen one. And because there's sin in this world, we are all going to suffer. And I suffered too. And at times I still suffer from different things, brothers and sisters, right? And I have bouts of depression my own self at times. It isn't easy. It's an ongoing journey. And yet my heart is committed to Christ. But yes, Christians do suffer. Good Christians, Christians who are trying to follow Christ, still suffer, brothers and sisters. But somehow I have the strength to fight it. I have the strength to continue to make the next day better than the last. I have that joy that I know God is with me. I have that joy and that strength and that, oh my goodness, I'm so excited because I love Jesus. You love Jesus. And when we love Jesus, we can get through this pandemic, through whatever that's going on in your life. Don't worry, brothers and sisters. We will rise above the ashes. We will. So brothers and sisters, I'm afraid my time is up and I have to sign off with you today, but do continue with me as we talk about, you know, attaining true happiness. I hope you've enjoyed this broadcast. It is a pleasure being with you as always. And if you ever need my story, you'd like to hear it, I have a free F-R-E-E CD, no money, no charge. If you just email quilt, Q-U-I-L-T at radiomaria.ca and give us your name and address, I'd be happy to send you one. It has my story, it has two pieces of music, and it has a little meditation piece. I know you will enjoy it. I know that Father Pavel in our church at St. Mary Immaculate in Richmond Hill gives them away to people who need encouragement. So yes, it's free for you too. As long as when I run out, I run out. But till then, send us an email. God bless you. We will see you next time. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't.